Tom, tell us more about the ferry.
Well, I run the ferry here 33 summers. Of course, after my boys got grown up, they helped me. At least they're nice to build them boats. My father built them before, when he run the ferry, before I did.
Yeah.
And I run it for 33 summers here. Then when they built the bridge here, I went on the bridge and worked with them. I helped the bridge here, and I helped them build the bridge on Dickey up there. Yeah.
Was that ferry across the Allegash or the St. John?
There's one bridge across the Allegash right here, the door here. And that was the first bridge we put in.
Yeah, but the ferry.
We took the ferry off. Yeah, the ferry ran right here, ma'am. And then when they moved up there, took that ferry off, we built that bridge across up there. I helped build them bridges. I used to do the road work here for many years. I rebuilt the road and put in wooden bridges and done all that work on the start, see? And I
was You had two ferries. One here was across the Allegash.
And one across St. John's River. Yeah. And I built all them boats on the start. Yes. I had a mill of my own, and I used to saw that lumber and build them boats.
Did you have quite a lot of passengers and teams, mostly teams in those days?
Yes, but it got so that the last of the passengers enough the ferry couldn't tend them. See, then we got the bridge.
That's why you got the
bridge. And I was the first man who went to Augusta for the bridge. They sent me for the bridge. And our governor was Sewell at the time. And I knew him very well. When I was crossing the ferry, he come up here for his governor. He got his car in the river and got it wet. And he had to bring the part of it here in the house and dry it in the drum of the stove, see. So they sent me down. Now, I wasn't on the board here at all, but they sent me down. And when I got telling him about the bridge, I said, well, you ought to know what happened to you with your car on the road. He was coming to them, see.
Yeah.
Well, it was quite a joke for a while with this thing, but they started the bridge. So then when this school come up, I wasn't on the board neither, but they sent me down for this school, see. And wherever there was something to come to the town, they sent me. But they wouldn't give me a job at the town, unless it was labor.
Years ago, how about your schools years ago, Tom? Well, how did you, they have schoolhouses or?
Yes, they had schoolhouses, and they had to learn the children up to the 8th grade then. And from that, well, there was no high school here then. But after high school at Fort Kent, they began, someone had the money. Well, I know for my kids, I sent them to Fort Kent. They graduated from Florida, graduated in Fort Kent. And, of course, there's quite a ways to go, yes. And they used to travel well southward on the bus there, you see.
Yes.
That's how it come that they could travel back and forth. Yes, sir.
But in the old days, you just had little schoolhouses.
Just a little small schoolhouses, hold 8 or 10 people,
yeah.
A little more. There wasn't much more than 10 at the time, see. And they went to the 8th grade. Gladys Garden up here taught quite a few years here.
Yeah.
The other guy here.
How much did they have to pay them?
Well, I couldn't just tell you because it's too much then. Yeah. Yeah. Because it's too much then. But I know that I couldn't just say,
Now, before they had any schoolhouses, did they have schools in their homes?
No, not then. Just when they started on. And you know, right then, every man was working for $1 a day. That was a big day for $1 a day. And I remember when they first started in the wood, when they was given $18 a month, see? Boy, that was some wages right there.
$18 a month?
Yeah. It was $1 a day first, and there is a, see?
Yeah.
Give them all of that. Yeah.
You work early and late.
Well, you go to work and wait for daylight, and you'd have to work till dark before you start coming to camp. That's just what they did them days. And look today.
quite a difference today.
Quite a difference. And at the time, they didn't have the grub like today, and they didn't have the clothes people at then. So people way back then must have been very tough to stand what they did and raise a family and that. And they didn't have the lumber and everything to build houses like today. We just notch up a camp and build that like that. The use pull the oak in there, the carpet, and they pull moss on the trees there, just like oakum, to the carpet camp. That's pretty dry going. And that, I didn't see the worst. That was long before my time.
Yeah. Well, in those days, then, instead of having the houses like they have today, they all lived in camps.
We lived in camps. Wherever you look along the river was a camp.
It was a camp.
Yeah, and that didn't begin the houses I can remember.
You can remember when they started having houses.
Yeah, I can remember when they started having houses. My dad over here was both the first one got going on a house there. And the gardeners, when they moved over here, built that house. John Casey, well, they ain't been building since then. That was John Casey that when he moved over here. That's quite a part of it, just a young boy. Yeah.
You saw the automobile come then, Tom?
Yes, I did. I was crossing the ferry there when that place started, the automobile.
When an automobile
first. That's right. That was something. Everybody run to the road to see that goodbye. And when the bicycles went by, that was the first thing. That was comical. See that man going.
They had a big wheel in front and a little wheel behind.
Yeah, quite a change in my life.
Yeah, you've seen a lot of changes.
Oh, yes. Quite a
These better days, or were better days in those days?
Oh my God, today you've got money, how do you do anything?
Yeah.
You cost more, but look at the living. Them days you didn't know where you'd go to get the second lunch. The house was coming. Oh my God, my God, I wouldn't want to go back there again.
You'd rather have today.
Yes, you're right. Oh yes. And you didn't have the food, you didn't have the clothes, you had nothing, you couldn't go nowhere. Then, them days they used to boil grease to make candles for light. That was a quiet thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where would you get your grease from?
Well, when they kill a pig or something with fat, they save that grease. Yeah.
Melt it and make candles out of it.
Candles out of it.
Yeah.
And that's what they did, yeah.
Well, tell us what one of those candles looked like and how long
they
last.
They put them in a little bottle or something to make them, but the way they used to use them, they put the grease straight in the plate, the tin plate, and they put a long string to come in, you set a fire here, and it kept melting and that was burning.
The string was on the edge.
Yeah, it was over the edge there. Now to keep it going, the plate was pretty good. Yeah.
Would it last very long?
Well, it's the last plate to burn out, so maybe a couple of hours, though. Yeah. And you couldn't see too far away.
No,
you could feel further.
Feel your way around.
So how did they keep their food? I know they go and get big supplies of food, of course. How did they keep mice out and preserve
it? Well, they always put down mice. You put down mice and they cover the ground with ground, and when the milk come up there, they cover it with sawdust. And with ground kept, the ground putting near as good as the ice cream. That was way back, and just remember that. Yeah, then they used the sawdust. And they cut all the ice and cover them with sawdust, all these ducks, and they used it that way. Yeah.
You kept your food in the ice house?
In the ice house.
On the ice?
Then they used to dig a big pit in the ground, put potatoes and garden stuff. And in the summer that was cool, and they used to put a lot of stuff in there and kept it just as cool and nice as the refrigerator, doesn't it? Yeah. There was done a lot of hard work there. Everything.
They kept a lot of their food in the cellar of their houses, didn't they, Tom?
That's right. Then they had these looms that they used to use. Weave there. My mother used to weave all her clothes in with that. She had a lot of sheep, you know. And she'd weave that and dye wool or whatever she color wanted the yarn. And she'd weave all different things and make coats and make shirts and everything.
That where did she like, get her dye from?
How's that?
Where'd she get her dye from, her color?
Well, she get it from Fort Kent. And
she bought it. I didn't
know. She bought it. And right up here we used to put up people, and the colleges put up their name here. And mother used to get them, they'd bring it to her, send it to her, whatever she wanted to get stuff like that. And, yeah.
A lot of your food and supplies came out of Fort Kent then, Tom.
Yeah. Then it began coming up when Jones got a store. That just didn't happen. From that, then Celtic, and then they started stores up here after that. And I'm just Italian, started stores. And my son, when Bob Crossroft here, saw him for quite a few years. He was farming potatoes, and he turned off for the woods racket. He's been in the woods ever since, a little bit.
They never raised many potatoes up through here. Mostly lumbering, wasn't it?
Mostly lumbering. Well, most potatoes raised up here at one time was Luke, my boy. That's what he started in on first. He's done very well with a lot of potatoes. Then he went into the lumber. Potatoes were dropped down. Yeah, I'm into London. He's been at that ever since.
Did they have any churches up here?
How's that?
Did they have any churches?
St. Francis was the first church. But yet to come, the minister would have church in the houses, and the priest used to come in the houses. Then after a while, you got the Catholic Church started here. Then they got the upper church there, I can't think of the name of it. Church above, it's the Protestant Church. And one below here. They got a different name, I can't just think of the name of it. But the three churches here is all different, the three. And only half a dozen.
Yeah. Go to
Well, did they used to go?
Oh, yes, one time there was a lot of people. But people, there's all moving over here. There's around a little over 400 population in one time. And today, I doubt it if you'll get more than 200. They're all moving away. Yeah. Well, I doubt it if it's 200. And they burned all the old houses.
Most of the people up here were Protestants first, weren't
first,
they?
First.
You were quite a few years before you had a Catholic church here.
That's right, before the Catholic church, that's right,
Now that's rather interesting, because down the river they're mostly French and Catholic. Now how did it happen that so many Protestants settled in this
area? Well, the English party moved in from Protestant, you see. The gardeners and the Mullins, whose name was all, they had different religions, see? So it was, then they got power now. They built one church up there, one the next church down here. And the Catholics built their church just in between. Three different religions.
What drew the people here in the first place?
How's that?
What drew the people here in the first place? How did they happen to settle here?
Well, they come from Paddington, St. John's, and there was all Protestants.
But what for?
Eh?
What did they come here for?
Well, to live, right? No, just moved up here and started to live there. Well, no, they just come along. When I first was in Van Jorn, let's see down here. Just where you cross the other guys down there with the nails. It's St. John's River. Not Grand Falls, above Grand Falls. Little Falls there.
Madawaska?
Yeah, below that.
Yeah.
Well, when I was a kid then, first started, they just begin building up there. It was to take drives in, you see. They begin building up there. Then the French people begin getting up this way and getting married with different girls, and they begin to, then they got a church going to take practice. And from that, come here. And it's just like the other folks had different religion. They come from Fredericton and St. John's and then places, and they started in on their religion. See, that's how we made it a mixture in the religion.
But these people that came up here from Frederick and St. John, they came up here lumbering.
Yeah.
That's what drew them up here, was the lumbering.
That's what brought them up here. Then they lived up here, a lot of them, and stayed up here, see?
And
that's what it was, the lumbering. And my father, he lived in Old Town. But when he come up here, when that road went through the country the other way up to Southern Ireland, that's how he come to up there. And he was working for Old Man Collins, the Old Man Collins. And they moved down and stayed with the Collins. They got done and he passed away.
There was another Collins before Will Collins?
Oh yes, the Old Man Collins.
Way back.
Yes. And he had two boys, Will and Vin.
Vin
never got married, and then Will has got his boys and his third generation of Collins.
None of those are left in the country here now, are
not
they?
Not now. The youngest of them all, I think, is somewhere around Chris Collins.
He's in Massachusetts, I think.
Oh, now?
Yeah.
Oh, he is.
Yeah.
You know, he's there very well. When I first had my meal here, the old man Collins got me the salt lumber, logs, you know, and he split them there and squared them for the camp for that little fella.
Yeah.
So we made the camp right here, put it on the truck, and they took it down to it.
Yeah.
They're both 10 feet long and both 4 or 5 feet wide.
Yeah.
In the first place.
Playhouse,
yeah.
What did you manufacture in lumber, Tom? In those days you had a shingle mill or a board mill or what?
A single mill, just no roofer.
Roofer.
But we sold anything we wanted on the roofer.
Yeah.
Any size or any length. If we sold those lumber. And that's how I come to get building these boats. I sold those all that lumber. See, them long boats are 50 foot long then. It took quite a big log.
Yeah.
And we had the rope long enough we could split them into two or three inch length, whatever the log would give. And solid just to the shape of the log. And when we put two logs, we'd swing the butt and top together, see how maybe just came height to the side of the next
piece. Yeah.
Oh, I had a lot of planning to do today.
Did you ever saw shingles, Tom? You never had a shingle mill?
I had the shingle mill sawed up, and I bought it from Carla from the depot, and brought it down here and sawed up. And there was a fella come along and wanted to buy it. And I got it from old man Carla $50 and moved it down here, and I got $250 for it, and I let it go. Well, the boys were going to the army, and I was alone.
Yeah.
And I made $2 and I let it go. Then I sold my grocery and everything after the boys left. I sold everything that I did. And the girl was getting down there and we left just putting your loan on another. There's two curves of the same. Then the boys all went to the army. And one got killed in the army there and buried at sea, and that was quite a scene. And we got that telegram. Went to church that morning, next morning, the back was there, and here Maynard, the game warden there?
Yes.
He was wounded on the canal. Yeah. When we get back from there, we get another telegram, he was wounded on the open alley. And the young fella was over there then, 5 or 6 months, we never know where he was. But after this boy got killed, they sent the other boy on the base. They sent him home 3 months before his time on account of his alone.
Yeah.
And it was quite a thing for a while.
What did you have? Did you kill much game, Tom, in those days to live on?
Oh, they just about all lived on game.
Oh.
Fish and game. Fish that the fishers would took canoes. And I never caught a fish and I never went home.
Is that so?
I burned up here and I never killed a deer and I never caught a fish.
You never killed a deer?
No, and I had too much work to do to keep the family going to stop the hunt. I never put in day hunting, I was off the work of hunting. Then I got buildings and for other people, and I was building roads and bridges and all the city jobs. And I was the foreman out and wherever I went, see, and I had to stay. And I never cared about hunting and fishing. Then they always fish. Yeah.
You were a carpenter then?
Well,
a jack of all trades.
Well, I don't want to tell you, you think I was bluffing. For everybody come to me taking advice, they want to make something, they come to me. And if I couldn't build it for them, I tell them what to do. Now my brother Dennis went up for the on St. John's River, and they put a boat dam across the... That was for the Irwin Company, a long time ago. And he got up there, and he couldn't build a boat, and he didn't know what to do, and he said, how to start. Well, they come down here and talk to me to see if I could go. If I was too busy here with stumping their town, they would take care of, I couldn't go. Well, I just saw down and I drawn the whole boat and I told them about the flare and I told them how to put it. I wrote everything and showed them how to put these drops there. And I drawn that all on paper. Well, I give it to LaCroix. The boat, he took it up there and Dennis and then got the boat built. I mean, by the paper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From your drawing?
I drawn it all over on paper. Yeah. Right. I wouldn't want to tell you the whole thing because you think I was going to mount the dog. I don't like that. So,
did you ever build a bateau?
Oh my God, I don't know how many I built. So, I built a lot of them. Oh, I don't know how many I built. Now, I got a pine out there. I was going to build a bateau for a dentist. And down below Bangor somewhere, and he called me out, and I got the lumber here, and he come up here one day, and I wasn't home. He talked to my son-in-law there, and my son-in-law told him, oh, he said, you can't build a battery, we ain't well now, and he's sick. He says, you'll have to forget it. When I come home, they told me about it, and I tried to find that man, and I can't. I got a nice log there for the battery, see. I know why he just put me over the battery there. Now with battles today, you know them canoes cost $300 and canvas canoes. With a battle today, you'd probably get $1,000 for a battle. See how much lumber goes into a battle.
Yeah.
In the work. And make all their means. Oh, I'd be up in the night and make them, you know, whether they're making so many of them that, yeah. Then my boys helped me too. They got so they could, yeah.
Explain to us how you make one.
How's that?
How do you make one and what does it look like?
Well, I tell you, you take the bottom of the barrel, we say 18 foot long, or 60. We start the barrel just about this, the bottom, like this, and come off quite deep to the bottom, the stern, the shape, like, almost like shape of a snowshoe. We need it. That'll be the bottom. And when you make your knees in the barrel, you have a flare like this. And it starts just above the big flare, and it gets a little steeper coming to the back. So that part, there was raised on the water, see. And, let me see. When I came back, I was all the battle, and I said, I draw everything to show you how. But I work, I'm going to try and build one, if I get that big log saw, just to put a show, for the idea to show. Yeah. And I'll draw one and send you a battle.
Now, what about the canoes that they used to dig out of a pine log?
Yeah, you cut a pine log.
How did they do that?
Well, now you cut a pine log. You know the way the shape the log grows.
Yes.
Well, they take and cut the bow right down like this, in a flare like that. They from the ground up, deep, you see, around. Then they dig that right out like this.
What did they dig it with, and how did they do it?
They had what they call an axe. On a handle, it's just about so wide there, and we just put in here, made like a hole, and you dig in, see, and first thing you do, you're first the bottom, right, where you want to shape the bottom, a little round at each end there, then you bore down 2 inches, or an inch and a half for the bottom, you bore a few holes, see, and drive it in, but when you dig here, you come to the thing, you see, that's the way you did it. And after the boat was made then, they'd take it dry wood and put pitch around it and oak them and they'd dry it right in their solid. And they'd never come out exactly on the water. That's, and on the sides, just the same way, they do it the same way. Try to bore and put pins in after you get the outside shape. And when they come to the inside, they know just how the water works.
They were... Pirogs, they call it. They were quite long.
Well, they made 16 foot, something like that. The 16 was quite short, 20 foot. They were the runners.
Yeah.
And some are normal ones, one make a big one on kind of folding up. The bigger the better, can always float better, see?
Yeah.
And when you go and they pull that stuff up, it's to go clean to the little falls to stuff. And then they coming up, you know, and then we got Port Kansas, St. Francis, or, you know, then after we got the roads up here. Yeah.
Did they ever build canoes using skin? Did they ever make canoes using animal skin?
No. Oh, the Indians did.
The Indians, yes.
But where I saw that, it was down Middle West Coast there on the guide. There's a lot of Indians on the Canadian side. And they was making them like that. And they used to make them out of bark. There's our mouth, it was very nice to see how they had that frame made. And they put that bark there and stick that bark. We could never get it together the way they put that together. And see, they make it a canoe out of bark canoe. That wasn't too strong, but for them, the way they used it, it worked all right. And they take the gum off of fur, all that for pitch.
They'd stick them with?
That's what they'd stick them with, yeah. And that's why they melted that about, is to hold that.
They used to use that as glue.
That's right, yeah.
You never built canoes up here.
Yeah, no, it was either a little fall there, Edmonton, where I like all the like.
But,
can you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You used to travel a lot by canoe, Tom?
Oh, it was all traveling then. It was all traveling with canoes, all the supplies, everything was all full with canoes.
Oh.
Or bateaux.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How many men would a bateau hold?
Oh, God, you put in 10, 15 men in a big bateau. Oh, yeah. Big bateau.
They use those on the drive
on the drive, yeah, and go to jams here and there, yes. Yeah. I need a lot of things. Where it started in making the most was when the freighters come up here.
Yeah.
I made the name on Little Black.
Freighters lumbered on Little Black, didn't they?
Yeah.
They did.
Then I made quite a few for the, Bishop, J.T. Bishop.
Yeah.
But made a lot for
him. For him, yeah.
Now there was a hard man to get out along with. By God, that man would do anything for me. Yeah. Of course, I used him right on everything, but he was awful good.
He built that tote road.
That's right.
Gravel road from here to Mitchell Farm.
Mitchell Farm, yeah. He had that all built up there in nice buildings, and they burnt that all down.
It's all burnt down.
All nice buildings. Big cellar there, cement, and they filled that all up. Yeah.
He used to be a big lumberman, didn't
he? He was a big lumberman, he was a smart man.
Yeah.
A very smart man. Yeah.
He started the automobile going up the Allegash then.
That's right. That's right. He got the first road up there. Yeah. Right to the front. Right?
What was his idea of building that road, do you know?
Well, he was on that farm up there, and he raised a lot of stock, and he had the Morris place when they moved away. Then he raised a herd of cattle, and he'd sell them and bring them all down and sell them. Then he raised pigs, and when Christmas, before Christmas, he had them all killed and brought down and shipped them. He made a lot of money to raise that, you see.
Yeah.
Then he got that road cut through there, so the soldiers went right through flying. Yeah.
Saved a lot of time.
Oh, a lot of time. It was helping him.
Yeah.
He was a very smart man, a real businessman.
Yeah.